Jeremiah here is crying out to the Lord. As we've seen, most of the messages have been God pleading with his people. But here we have Jeremiah just having a little bit of personal time with God in the midst of all this. And so beginning in verse 1, he says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter." So, thou hast tried mine heart toward thee. Let's pray. Lord, use your word tonight to teach and grow us in your faith. We thank you for the privilege to be here and for the sweet time of fellowship. And now as we go to your word, Lord, may you be glorified in this time. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So you can see he's crying out to the Lord a bit and also admitting to the Lord that he understands his own personal relationship with God. But he starts by declaring God's righteousness, as we see there in verse 1, but then saying, "Lord, can I please plead with you a bit about all of the wickedness that's going on? And it seems like they're getting away with it." And all of us as Christians have struggled with this in our lives, where it just seems like the more wicked people are, the more they seem to get away with it. And then he admits that in the end, it's up to God to make the right decisions, and that God knows us, God has seen us, and that God's ultimate goal for each of his children is that our heart be toward him rather than focusing on the things around us. So we'll walk through this together. He starts off, "Righteous art thou, O Lord." He's admitting up front that God is righteous. And this is important because the world often portrays God as being unfair, unrighteous, and so forth. But the heart of understanding the answers to these questions is understanding the nature of God and his character, and understanding that our God is a righteous God, that he always does right. This is important. And so when we see things like Jeremiah observing things and saying it almost doesn't seem right, but we don't see it from God's perspective. And in the end, if they're saved, they're going to heaven. If they're unsaved, they're going to hell. What happens here as far as their daily circumstances isn't the final issue, is it? It's what we chose to do with Jesus Christ. But God is righteous. The Bible declares, if you go to Psalm 145, verse 17, just a couple of scriptures on the righteousness of God, our God. And by righteousness, we're not only talking about sinlessness, which that's just part of it, that God is holy and never does anything wrong, but the fact that whatever God does is the right thing. And this is important. So notice Psalm 145, verse 17. The Bible says, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works." So whatever God does, it is right. It's important for us to believe that as Christians. Because how many times do we have either circumstances in our own lives, or we see circumstances in the lives of others, or even maybe other countries or other situations, and we stop and ponder, is that really the right thing? If God allowed it, it's the right thing. God never makes any mistakes. So it's important that we have that perspective, and Jeremiah had to get there on his own, that God always does the right thing. Let's look at one more, Psalm 98, verse 9, as we ponder the fact that our God is righteous and always does right. Psalm 98, verse 9. The Bible says, "Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity." It means God always will do right, and his judgments will always be based on what's right. So when we stand before God at the judgment, if we are unsaved, God will do the right thing because God is right and God is just, and that they will be judged for their sin. As Christians, we will stand before God and God will do what's right, and that is he will give us rewards based upon what we did with the time that we had here as His children. But it will be right. Now, where we, if you will, step out of that and go more into the love and the grace of God, like we talked this morning, God gives us His righteousness through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. Well, that, from a purely judgment perspective, is going above and beyond, right? Because technically, God should send every single one of us to hell for our sin. That's ultimately perfect judgment. But God's love drove Him to become a man and say, but I love my creation. I'm going to sacrifice myself for them. I'm going to die for them. I'm going to rise again for them. And I'm going to give them the righteousness that they need to be able to be in my presence. That's the love and mercy and grace of God. But God always does what's right. And again, Jeremiah has to come to this conclusion because then he begins to ask these questions. He says, let me talk with thee. So Lord, if it's okay, let me ask you a question. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? You're righteous. I acknowledge that you do right. Can I just ask a question? Why do the righteous prosper? Now, David did the same thing. If you go to Psalm 37, I remember Pastor Anger preaching on this at one of our family camps years ago about this fret not passage. The ultimate conclusion of all of this is it's not our concern. Notice Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. You see what God is telling us here? He's saying, don't worry about it. Don't fret over it. It's not your concern. That we are not here to focus on the lives of others. We're not here to focus on their circumstances. We're not here to focus on their behavior, whether they're doing right or wrong. We're here to focus on God. And that's why he finishes that passage by saying, delight thyself also in the Lord. Our focus needs to be on God, not on the wicked. And that's the answer. As Jeremiah is asking the question, God leads him to the conclusion that that is, actually, what matters is my standing with God, my heart. Where am I with the Lord, not looking at the behavior of others? All that is a distraction. And the devil's good at that, isn't he? By getting us distracted by focusing on what so-and-so is doing rather than where am I with God. And so Jeremiah comes to that conclusion. He finishes there in verse 3 by saying, I know that God will judge them in the end, and He will. You know, if you go to Romans 12, most of us know this passage, but what God is telling us here is even when the evil of the evil affects us personally, what's the answer? The answer is to give it to God, not to retaliate in any way. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written. So now he's going to quote the Old Testament. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So this is not only a New Testament concept. This is a God concept. That it's not our place to execute vengeance. It's not our place to be concerned about those things. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say, verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fires on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What's he ultimately saying? Give it to God. And what's God ultimately saying to Jeremiah? God will deal with it. God will take care of it. It's not our concern to look at the evil and say, look, it's like they're getting away with it. They're having such a good time in their sin. You know what? If they don't get saved, they're going to spend forever and ever and ever and ever and ever burning in hell. Think about that. Forever. Is that sufficient punishment for their sin? Yes. But it's extreme. Why did we escape it? Only because of Jesus. Not because we're righteous, but because of what Jesus did. So we have to look at it from God's perspective, God's eternal perspective, God's global perspective, and ultimately have this attitude and understanding that it's not up to us. It's not our concern. It's in God's hands. And so that leads us to what he concludes here in verse 3 of our passage. He says, But thou, O Lord, knowest me. So he starts off by saying, Lord, I know you're righteous and I know you do the right thing. But Lord, it troubles me to see the wicked getting away with their wickedness. But you know me. In other words, my focus shouldn't be on the others, but it should be on myself. Where do I stand with God? Where is my heart? You know me, you've seen me, and you've tried my heart toward thee. This is what's important, not what the wicked are doing. Where are we with God? So he starts off by saying, thou knowest me. This is important. Go to Psalm 139, that we have this understanding. And I know we know this in our minds, but we have to know it in our hearts and in our lives, that God knows everything about us. He knows our thoughts. Notice Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God knows everything we do, everything we say, and everything that we think. That's what's important. Because when we are focusing on the lost, or the wicked, I should say, what we're really doing is comparing ourselves. But do we not have wickedness in our own lives? We would all have to say, yes, we do. And our problem is that we often are tricked by the devil into rating wickedness and saying, well, you know, I'm a pretty good person, but that person's really bad. But from God's perspective, is that true? Aren't we all wicked? Aren't we all sinners? Don't we all fail God every day? And if it wasn't for the grace and mercy and love and forgiveness of God, we'd all be going to hell, you see? This is the perspective we need to maintain. God will take care of it. If they don't trust Christ, they're going to burn forever in hell. If they do trust Christ, he's going to change them. But in the meantime, it's not our concern. But God does know everything about us. You know, Jesus even talked about knowing how many hairs are on our head. Think about that. There's 8 billion people in the world, and God knows how many hairs are on every single person's head. That's pretty amazing. Which means he knows every little detail about us. He cares about every little detail. And so Jeremiah says, you know me. He goes on to say, and thou hast seen me. God sees everything. The Bible says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance, in Psalm 90, verse 8. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 25, 9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And then in Hebrews 4, the Bible says, all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees everything. So Jeremiah is coming to this realization that my focus isn't to be on other sins. My focus is to be on me, my life, my sins. Do I have them? Yes. Do I need to deal with them? Yes. And so he finishes there, verse 3, by saying, and thou hast tried my heart toward thee. So what he's saying is, it's more important what God is trying to do in my life than it is what's happening in other people's lives. That my focus needs to be, what's God doing with me? How is God refining me to make me more like Jesus? And I like how he uses the word tried, mine heart, because we are stubborn. Go to Psalm 7, verse 9. Because we're stubborn and self-centered and self-righteous, a lot of the inclining of our hearts in the right direction has to come through fire. Psalm 7, verse 9. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. So here it is again. But establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. Now, if you search that out in the New Testament, the hearts that God tries are the hearts of the righteous. God doesn't try the hearts of the wicked. God isn't working in their lives trying to make them more like Jesus because they're going to hell. It's not until we become His child that He then begins to mold and try to bring us into the image of Jesus Christ. Up to that point, we just do what we know to do, and that's sin, and live like the devil. But the Lord tries the hearts, as we're told in the Scriptures. If you go to Psalm 11, just a couple chapters over, notice that He confirms that here. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. That's because God hates sin. So He's trying the righteous. And David even said in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." So God tries our heart toward Him. He continually is trying to mold our heart to make it more inclined toward Him. Go to Psalm 119, and then we'll look at a New Testament verse. Psalm 119, verse 36. David actually asked God to point his heart toward Him. Notice Psalm 119:36. "Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness." So he says to God, he actually is willing to make this request, are we? "Lord, can you please incline mine heart to your testimonies, to your word?" Because if we ask a question like this, if we make a request like this to God, He'll answer it. But He'll do it His way, and it might involve some trials. If we really need our heart inclined in the right direction, a lot of times it's going to take some trials to make it real. And 1 Thessalonians 2, we'll finish there, where the Apostle Paul reinforces this great truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Paul says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." So Jeremiah learned a lesson in these three verses, didn't he? And we need to learn the same lesson. God always does right for the saved and the unsaved. And that our focus is never to be on the behavior of others, but on our own lives and where we stand with God. Is there work that needs to be done in our lives? Always. So let's be willing to let God do the work. He already knows everything about us. He sees everything. He cares about every detail in our lives. And His ultimate goal is to try our hearts toward Him, to keep inclining us in His direction, to make us more like Jesus Christ. And He is working in our lives. He says, don't focus on what the wicked are doing. If they don't get saved, they'll get hell. And if they do get saved, then God will work in their lives and incline their heart. In the meantime, our focus needs to be in here. Amen? Not out there. And as long as that's the case, then we can just keep growing. So what a great truth. Try mine heart toward thee.